Look, good evening, everyone, or morning, or afternoon. It's afternoon on Wednesday for us in American Samoa, so I'm not in a position to be leading the world around. In fact, at the very last place in time in any given day. But I think we should make a start to the meeting. And Christina, can we have a list of those present and those who have apologised, please?
Sure. From the CCMSO, we have Hugo Akiri, Keith Davidson, Christy Spain, Stephen Deerhawk, Eberhard Lesche, Catherine Reynolds, Dottie Sparks LeBlanc. And from liaisons, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr. From staff support, we have Bart Boswinkle, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernard Turcott. And apologies from Frank March, Martin Boyle, Suzanne Riddell, Diane Jukic, Patricia Poblete, Paulus Miranda, Bill Semik, and probably Jaap Akkerhuis.
Thanks, Christina. And are there any further apologies? Has anyone heard from anyone else? If not, can we move on to item two on the agenda, the confirmation of the meeting report from 27 October. That document has been out for quite some time, so I'll assume you've all read it, and just ask if there are any corrections or amendments. No, if not, we'll consider the meeting report confirmed. And sorry, Christina, I think you're changing the document just a little bit too late. Bernie, were there any action points from that meeting that are not otherwise covered anywhere?
I don't believe so. Just to make sure here. No, I think we're going to cover everything in the upcoming items on the agenda, sir.
Excellent, thank you. Then moving on to item three and the review of the significantly interested party paper. Can I just ask, I'm hearing a lot of interference on this line, so can I ask everyone who's not talking to please mute? And I see a number of people who are on the Adobe Connect room who have speakers or microphones turned on, so if you can mute those as well. Hopefully this will be our final review of Significantly Interested Parties. I think it is our fifth bash at it, and as I understand it from Vicky and Benny, you worked hard in Dakar to get the final amendments in place. So, Benny, can you talk us through the final amendments and see if we can get a final agreement to proceed to the next stage with this document?
Yes, sir. We had some problem with the red line, so we're going to work from the regular document. I'll pull up the red line so I know I'm talking about the right thing on my screen here. So hold on just a sec. Okay. So we are talking about version 2.7 of the document. It's been in circulation for a week. The first change is in section 3 in the title, where we accommodated Bill's requirement that we had GAC principles in there, and he felt much more comfortable with guidelines, so that's been replaced as requested.
Hi, it's Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hello.
There are no other changes until Section 7. And I will pop that up in a second. OK.
Benny, I just noticed, I'm just looking at the redline copy, there seems to be some change, but it may be just formatting under 5.1.5.
5.1.5, yes, that's just formatting. In the clean version, it washes out. The next change is section 7.1, and basically we've added should. So IANA should undertake the steps necessary to implement the following interpretation of policies. Are we all okay with that? Okay, sounds like it's a go. The next change is in section 7.1.1. Make sure we've got that up. And basically shortened it and added basically or others that have a direct material, legitimate, and demonstrable interest in the operation of the CCTLDs. We've removed the A, actively engaged, and B, have direct material, legitimate. So we adjusted the wording as per the meeting in the car. Is that okay for everyone? Sounds okay.
Silence is golden.
Yeah. Yes. Next change, 7.1.11. We've replaced redelegation with transfer or uncontested redelegation. Is that okay? All right. The next change will be in 7.1.1.2, and basically we've just replicated the change from 7.1.1, but this, as we discussed at the meeting, is to make sure that people must demonstrate that they are significantly interested parties. Is that okay for everyone? Okay, I'll take it as being acceptable. Racing along. 7.1.2 had quite a few, a big rewrite, and basically removed most of the...
Just a moment, Benny. Eberhard has his hand raised. Eberhard.
Sorry, Eberhard.
I have been still thinking about, and some others have still been thinking on 7.1.1.1. I haven't finalized my thoughts, so this is not yet final, please. Just keep this in mind, yeah? We had some issues there with this. Bill has made some comments, but he's not offline, but he is not available now, so I don't want to go to make this go unremarked.
All right, so we'll put a placeholder there for you, Eberhard. That's 7.1.11, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we were at 7.1.2. Applicants should be encouraged to provide documentation of the support of stakeholders for the delegation, redelegation, or revocation request. But IANA should also provide an opportunity for stakeholders to comment on the request via public process. I think that Becky managed to capture our thoughts relative to that rather well. Are there any questions or comments on that? Okay. Moving on to 7.1.21 was...
Sorry to interrupt again, but there is some awful background noise coming through on this. Can I again ask everyone who's not speaking to mute? Thank you.
All right, so 7.1.21, these requirements do not modify or eliminate the rights, if any, of a delegated manager prior to the adoption of C-1591. We're all good with that? I hear nothing, and I see no hands up. I'll give it a sec. Okay. 7122, stakeholders, is a new statement. Stakeholders is used here to encompass significantly interested parties, and other parties referenced in RFC 1591. So we're basically using stakeholders to capture the whole lot of those. Are there any questions or comments on that? And this was discussed in Dakar. I don't see anything and I don't hear anything, so I seem to think that that's good. 7123 was adjusted from what it was in the previous section. It's completely new in the red line because it changed places, but it's a similar paragraph to what was there before. I'll go through it. Classification of input, IANA should develop, publish, and document its compliance with procedures for consideration of input from stakeholders, taking into account the nature of the commenting party's interest in the delegation, transfer, quote, uncontested redelegation, comma, revocation, and operation of the CCTLD and the relevant substance and weight of such input. This classification should be based on the FOI working group interpretation of significantly interested parties. This classification must also take into account that, in the case of a delegation, significantly interested parties should agree that the designated manager is the appropriate party and that other stakeholders have some voice in selecting the manager. In the case of a transfer, stakeholder input should be considered and taken into account. I think this tries to capture everything we talked about in Dakar. And to my mind, it does, but I'll be glad to take comments or questions. I don't see any hands. I don't hear any voices. Okay. Moving on to 713. Minor modifications, the intent is essentially the same. IANA reports on delegations, transfers, and revocations should reflect consistent application of these FOI working group recommended guidelines and should include the detailed results of IANA's evaluation of stakeholder input regarding the requested action. Is this okay for everyone? Going once, going twice. I see no hands. I hear. Pardon me, sir?
It appears to be acceptable to everyone, so please continue, Benny.
Okay. We, as per the meeting in the car, we've touched up 7.2, 7.3, and 7.4, so we'll run through those just to make sure everyone's comfortable with those. In the red line, they show as new because they got moved around, but there were more edits than complete changes. 7.2, the IANA functions manager is requested to inform the GAC and CCNSO at each ICANN meeting on the plan and progress to date in implementing these FOI working group recommended guidelines. So I guess the big change here is the IANA functions manager terminology. Are we okay with that? Okay, I don't see anything. No noise. All right. 7.3. Should the IANA functions manager choose not to comply with the FOI working group recommended guidelines in connection with any specific delegation, transfer, or revocation, it should provide the rationale for doing so in a public report. Again, I think it's more the terminology for the IANA functions manager. Questions, thoughts, comments, corrections? I don't see any hands, and I hear no noise. Okay. 7.4. Any changes to these FOI working group recommended guidelines should be the subject of a formal public consultation as per ICANN standard procedures, which is essentially what was written there previously. So I'm not even sure what the change is officially on that one. Is that still okay with everyone? Okay. So basically, That's it. We've run through it, and we've got a placeholder for Eberhardt on 7111, which basically states, and let me get that back up here, and we've got that there. This provision does not eliminate or replace the requirements in the consent topic regarding the consent of the proposed manager, and in the case of a transfer or uncontested redelegation, the incumbent manager. L, how do you want to handle this? We've actually run through the whole document, and I think we're pretty good. Are you still thinking about this, or...
Yeah, I have been totally snowed in this week, so I had some really big issues to deal with. So I haven't finalized this, and we have been having some discussions offline, so with some of people, so I'm not finalized this. I think we put this on the mailing list, and we should be able to put this on the have this finished by the next call. So we can put this to bed finally before or on the next call.
Eberhardt, can I ask what your exact problem is with the current wording?
I'm still not ready to put my thoughts in out. You know, I haven't totally reflected it. I don't want to talk about this.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I think I'm done my part on this, so I'll hand this back over to you.
Yeah, I just, I do have some concerns that, this is the fifth occasion we've bashed this document, and, in the absence of hearing an actual concern, I would like us to move ahead and go to the next stage if we could. I don't have any clarity
Just ask me on this one. We still have got some issues with regard to SIP and whether when it applies, and I haven't been able to finalize my thoughts, and I don't want to put some half-cocked stuff up here now. Please give me a few more days to finalize our thoughts or my thoughts on that.
Thanks, Eberhardt. I see Stephen has his hand raised. Stephen.
Quoting from some correspondence on this that's been kicking around, on 7111, does it in some minds appears to permit by exclusion a contested redelegation take place without the incumbent manager's consent. Is that a possible interpretation of that language now?
This is Bernie. Can I ask Becky to step into this? Because I think she readjusted that to specifically address that.
So I think that the current language suggests that the only place you could have a redelegation without consent would be... in a situation where there is the sort of substantial misbehavior issue, which we haven't discussed, and we have to flesh that out. But I think at least where I got to in drafting this, and I think I intended the language to reflect this, is that absent the substantial misbehavior, a redelegation requires consent. And so I think the big question going forward is what's the substantial misbehavior standard and all of that, but my intention in the current drafting was to sort of move us into the place where we get to the, those questions next.
Hey, thanks, Becky.
that help clarify at all for you, Eberhard?
Yes, but it does not finalize this. Please give us a little bit more, give me a little bit more time, and give the people who have been discussing this offline a little bit more time to reflect on this. And I do not want to be pushed into putting this to bed today.
Keith, at some level, I mean, I do think that there is a way in which all of this holistically has to tie up. And so there's a way in which I think we probably won't totally reach closure on this issue until we reach closure on the misbehavior issue. But because I do think that that's another very significant topic that needs to be discussed, but one that we haven't really, that we don't have closure on right now.
Thanks, Becky. And I'm not trying to bulldoze this through. I just think we have had some time on it. I see Chris has his hand raised. So, Chris.
Thanks, Keith. I once again find myself in a state of some confusion. It's actually nothing to do with Eberhard. Eberhard's position is Eberhard's position, and that's fine. But I'm not entirely clear what the connection is with misbehaviour. So perhaps if my reading of this, and to be fair, I wasn't involved in the discussions in Dakar. My reading of this is that significantly interested, it's a definition of what significantly interested parties are, and 7111 seems to me to be simply a statement that says, irrespective of what the significantly interested parties say, there is a requirement for consent of the proposed manager, and in the case of transfer, the incumbent manager. That's all it means. I don't understand what it's got to do with misbehavior.
So, Chris, just to be clear, I completely agree with your reading. The exception to the consent requirement is when there is significant misbehavior, which
right.
is an issue that we haven't discussed. But I completely agree with you that in the ordinary course, you require the consent of the incumbent manager and the proposed manager.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Look, I think on reflection, I thought this was a pretty straightforward and probably readily agreed to clause, but let's keep that placeholder in place for a moment. I've seen no list discussion on this since Dakar. I'm failing to really get to grips with what the issues are. But could I urge you to raise the matter on the list over the next day or so with a view to resolving it by no later than next Wednesday, and you know, if there is a need to hold back this document, we could do so at that point. But if it can be resolved, I'd really like to see it resolved. So I'd ask if that's satisfactory. And I see Eberhard has his hand raised, so Eberhard, please just note.
Yeah, I'm quite sure we can do that because Bill Semich, who raised the point, is at the moment offline because of travel, and when it's online, we can do this on the mailing list. Yeah, I was very busy, so I didn't really fully participate with input in his argument, but I'm just putting my hand up here so that this gets that he gets a chance to raise his point.
Okay. Well,
yeah, so
I'll
hear what you say. We should get. As soon as he's back online, we'll advance something to the list.
Yep. So Okay, let's proceed on that basis. Just before we sort of approve the rest of the document, Kim, I think you're online, and I just wonder if you have considered this, you know, the new statements and what might be required of IANA, and whether that presents any specific problems or issues other than operationalizing.
I haven't looked closely at the most recent version of the document. If you think that there's something specific that I should review with a careful eye, I'm happy to do so.
No, it was more just getting a feeling for where it had been, and I assume you did participate in DECA in the editing of the document. I didn't want us to come up with something that IANA had no chance of doing. Okay, and I see Eberhardt has his hand raised again. So Eberhardt. Eva,
can you hear me?
I can now. But can't anymore. Okay. Al has just on the chat screen said no more voice here.
So I'm back now, apparently. Okay. Stephen wrote a little thing onto the list on his point of order. Can we close 7-Eleven on the mailing list after discussion of it on the mailing list? I would support that point of order.
Okay, and I think that's exactly where I'm going to go. So what I think we have resolved, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we have accepted the document in its entirety except for 7.1.1.1, and that will go to the list, and we will close discussion on that next Wednesday. So unless there's some compelling difficulty raised with leaving it in its current form, it will become the final text for the document. And I see Stephen has his hand raised, so Stephen.
Quick question, do we want to set some sort of time frame for posting of discussion and then a date that we can try to reach consensus on this?
Okay, thank you, Stephen. I see Chris has his hand raised. Chris.
Yeah, just to say that I don't think we can, because we don't know that there is a problem yet. So let's just say simply that that Eberhardt's agreed, or rather, what we're expecting to hear from Bill, and we'll work on it in the next couple of days.
Excellent.
I think that sounds like the compromise. So thanks all, and so let us consider the significantly interested party chapter closed with a small opening for 7.1.1.1. The rest of the text is agreed, and that debate to conclude by next Wednesday if we can. Okay, thank you very much, and I think that's really good progress on this document, and it's close to being the second chapter concluded. Unless there's anything else regarding the SIP document, can we move on with the agenda? I'm not hearing any further discussion on it, so can we go to item 4 on the agenda and the public consultation can start? I wondered if you could update us on any progress on the consent document consultation. I understand it's due to close sometime in early December.
Sorry, can you hear me?
It's due to close December 1st, I believe, and our only comment so far is a spam.
I'm sorry, I missed the very last sentence there, and the only comment something.
Is a spam, an invalid submission.
Oh, excellent. I'm so pleased we're not exempt from spam. Okay,
however...
Thanks, Benny. And can we then look forward to a similar consultation for the SIP document and ask Bart and Bernie to work on a timeline and process that will replicate a similar amount of time to enable reasonable input on the SIP document? I would like to, if we can, get this document out for consultation this side of Christmas so that we can potentially conclude the consultation period with the first ICANN meeting next year.
It's my plan to have this as a public consultation before the holiday break.
Excellent. Okay, is there anything else we need to look at in terms of the public consultation processes? Not. We should move to item 5 on the agenda, and that is the timetable of meetings going forward. Our next meeting would be on the 24th of November at 1300 UTC, and going through the rotation. I have had a comment from one of the working group participants saying that the meeting times are unfair on them, and of course they're unfair on everybody, so I think this was the most reasonable time, although this particular call is always going to be the one that's most difficult. Parts of the US, parts of Europe, and parts of Africa. So this is likely to be the lightest participation call of the three times that we have. We have a series of meetings that should allow us to make good progress all the way through to ICANN. Are there any comments or any discussion relating to that timetable, or can we positively confirm it?
I have my hand up, but anyway. Keith, this objection to the meeting times, I don't want to know a name, but was that from a civil servant?
No, it was from an ex-civil servant. Anyway, I haven't. That is the only feedback I've had in terms of the new schedule. I'm inclined to think that everyone else has agreed. Okay.
I think the schedule is atrocious, but it's fair on everybody. So everybody has to suffer once in a while, and who can't suffer doesn't take part in the call. In the end, it all evens out. We have been through this 5 times, and who can't participate.
Yep, okay. I think it is a question of dedication and those who are dedicated to join, but I'll reiterate that we don't make a final and binding decision on the basis of one call, so missing one because it's at the most extraordinarily bad time for you should not hurt your ability to keep up with the work of the working group and contribute to the decision. So, I think on the basis of one small objection, I'm not going to
seek to change or modify that schedule any further or the timing of the meetings, and so we'll regard those as the firm, or that as the firm schedule going forward. And I think we should review again at the March ICANN meeting, where the world will be about the change through its summertime, daylight saving, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, fun and games yet again. Okay, we have one more item on the agenda, and that was that some on the working group had requested the that we provide transcripts of our calls. It is possible, and you know, we already provide audio recordings, but that's not everyone's cup of tea in terms of re-digesting or digesting one of these calls. So the idea that the transcripts could be provided seems pretty solid to me. We can do that with a turnaround time of 72 hours after the call. If we wanted to do it any sooner, it would cost arms and legs, so it doesn't seem to be all that appropriate, but it would be another avenue for people to catch up on this. So unless there's any objection, we should proceed, and I see Eberhard. So Eberhard, you have a comment?
I think the transcription is very good, because listening to audio, for example, for Ugo is very difficult because of the poor bandwidth. I have done some stuff a few meetings ago to take transcripts and make this into properly readable PDFs, so I can look at the format of the transcripts and do this. I have a transcript that does this in 1 minute or so. So I think transcripts is a very good idea. And a record of this, even if we don't publish it for the whole population, if we just publish it internally, is very good, because the it's almost as good as the record on the mailing list, because we know exactly what's said, we can refer to what is being said, and it makes things so much easier.
Excellent. Okay, so that's a strong message of support to proceed, and I didn't think there would be any objections, but I thought we should have the opportunity for that. You know, it's hardly a transgression of privacy, because the audio recording is there anyway. So yes, we'll proceed on that basis, unless there's any objections or other comments. Okay. And is there any other business for us tonight? Does anyone have anything they wish to add?
Yes, I have. I have again participated on this. I have again participated on this meeting only with the Adobe Connect. I'm not using the telephone. So I'm using the MacBook. I'm not using the iPad. But what I'm saying is, if we don't have telephone connection, but we have a reasonable internet connection, that's a very good alternative that we should push.
Thanks, Eberhard. And I think the next meeting I am at home for, I will try Adobe Connect myself without the phone. So it's been great to see the constant improvements in Adobe Connect, and that would be a nice next phase. To have a single device and connection. Okay, is there anything else?
And
if not,
and you can put the phone on mute and have it lying next to you, so you can, if it fails, you can immediately switch to the phone until you get confident. I'm so confident, I tell Christina by number, but I said she doesn't have to call me anymore.
Excellent. Thanks, Edhan. Okay, anything else from anyone? If not, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you for your participation, and we'll talk again on the 24th of November at 1300 UTC. Thanks very much, chaps.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.